It is good to see all of you again this evening. Danny beat me to it, but I'm going to say I hope you had a good happy nappy today. It was really a good day to just lay down on the couch and close your eyes. But now we're coming back together to worship God again. Everybody here and everyone you know have all faced situations that we were unprepared for. Whether you're in school and having to take a test, maybe it's a pop test as the teacher used to call them, and you don't think you're ready for it. You haven't prepared yourself. Hey, you might fuss. Well, you can't do this to us. But life is never about giving you fair warning about what's fixing to happen, is it? It may be a job interview that is so stressful that you just feel so unprepared for it. Let me move the arrow out of the way. Well, I was a Boy Scout, and Daniel was a Boy Scout, and the Boy Scout motto is be prepared. Be prepared. But it doesn't matter. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much prepared you are or how ready you think you are for something, you're never quite fully prepared. And when we're unprepared, or completely unprepared, the inconveniences sometimes can bring about painful results. But I want to suggest to you the worst pain of all is being spiritually unprepared. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 25. You don't have to. We'll have most of the scriptures on the screen up here. But we're going to talk about the five foolish virgins. The parable includes 10 virgins that were preparing themselves for a wedding feast, which symbolizes the Lord's return. Five wise were ready, they were prepared, and the five foolish were not ready, they were unprepared. And in reading this parable, we see that the consequences of being unprepared are quite painful. I want to talk to you for just a minute about when we are unprepared for the Lord's return. We know He's coming, don't we? He's told us. The angels told the apostles as He ascended into heaven that He's going to return. He's going to come back. But in thinking about this, we are indeed foolish. We're just like the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25 and verse 2. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. All of them knew that because of the timing of this bridegroom coming for this feast that they all needed oil. All of them knew that. And they began to trim their lamps back to make preparation, and the five foolish just weren't ready. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes and tells us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And notice what he says here. This is a powerful statement in verse 16. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We live our lives, and I hate to say it this way, but we're lazy. We're negligent. We're distracted about the unimportant things that go on in our life. We're lazy. We wait till the last minute to prepare ourselves for maybe a Bible class. Oh, I've got to read this at least. Not put any time into studying it, but I've got to read it. I've got the scripture reading at church. I've got to wait till the last minute. Or we're negligent about anything. We talked this morning about reaching out to those in the world that need the gospel. And yet so many times we neglect that responsibility of our own, thinking, well, Brother Jeff can take care of that. Or one of the elders can take care of that. And we get distracted thinking about something else to where we let the Lord's work slip. And all of those things are really unimportant when it comes to what we are supposed to do for the Lord. So, yes, we are foolish in that aspect. But we're also wasteful. As Paul speaks to the Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 16 there, we're not redeeming our time well. He says there, redeem the time, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We talked this morning in Bible class about the majority of the people in our society, in our country today, that moral majority seems to be slipping away less and less from a majority to a minority with each passing generation. Well, that's what was said about the Israelites in the book of Judges after Joshua died. But here, Paul says redeeming the time. That means buying it back, making the best of the time that we have. It's a valuable commodity in our lives. Time is, because you look at the society we live in and it's evil. And we need to be spending as much time as possible for the Lord. Whether it's praying, whether it's studying, whether it's worshiping, whether it's singing hymns, whatever it is, we need to be making the best use of our time. But so many of us are not ready for the opportunities that God provides. We're not ready for worship service a lot of times. It's like raising children, trying to get them ready to go to worship service, and you get one ready, and while you're working on a second one, the other one's done half undressed himself. So you're taking two steps back when you're taking one step forward. It feels like you're fighting a losing battle. We need to be ready for every opportunity that the Lord puts in front of us. Every opportunity. And the five foolish virgins missed that blessed wedding because they didn't take advantage of the opportunity to buy oil when they could. You'll remember from the story, from the parable, that they went to the five wise and begged them to sell them some of their oil. And here it is about the midnight hour for them. And they said, no, we prepared ourselves with just enough for us. And they told the foolish ones to go buy some for themselves. J.W. McGarvey, in his commentary about this parable, says, it's like coming up to the judgment day and finding yourself short of righteousness, and the Lord, you know you're in line, and you know that you're going to come up short. And you start asking the righteous people around you to sell you some of their righteousness. I love that analogy, because it's not going to work. You can't wait till the 11th hour to not start making preparations. You can't wait till midnight and say, I need to go buy this, or you sell me some of yours. The thought of this parable is prepare now before that event. And I think part of the reason that we're unprepared for the Lord's return, and I know it's not got here yet, but we do know He's returning, is that we're self-centered and we're self-indulgent. We want everything to be about me. What I want to do. What I want to get out of life. And we can't do that. And that's what Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12, verses 12, 13 through 21. These foolish virgins were focused only on themselves. And they were unprepared to meet God and to serve others. You and I don't need to be that way. We've been given ample warning. The warning has been given some 2,000 years ago that He's coming back. Now the question is, are you ready? He's ready. He's ready to come back at any moment. We don't know when He's coming. He's going to come back as a thief in the night, Peter says. He's ready to come. But the question is, are we? Or are we like the five foolish and unprepared? Sometimes I wonder if we're just not weak in our own faith. We profess, we pretend, and we put on a show that my faith is strong. But when we look at everything else that we've looked at here with these five foolish virgins, they were foolish and wasteful, self-centered and self-indulgent. I wonder sometimes if it's not just us being weak in our faith. It's not as strong as it ought to be. So with that being said, I want to spend the rest of the time talking about that we must prepare in order to succeed. And there are many aspects that I want to talk about here. The first one is we've got to prepare for life. Life is going to happen. You're going to get married, you're going to have children, and children are going to throw a monkey wrench into every plan that you've ever decided to make for yourself. Every plan. I've had plans for this week. Marilyn gets a couple of days off, and what happens? Can you babysit? The preacher's coming to stay at my house next week, and I need to get some things done around the house. Can you babysit? Not just one day, but 2 days. And by the way, while you're doing that, can you pick them up at school one afternoon? You know where my plans just went? Out the window. If I could get the window open. But they're out the window. So we've got to prepare for life. And we do that, first of all, by depending on God and His will. God has given us a plan, His plan. Just like we talked about this morning with baptism, Christ gave us an order for baptism, the way it is supposed to be obeyed. We need to follow God's plan for us in our lives. And we need to depend on God and His will. And we do that by remembering and obeying God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the great preacher talked about looking for the meaning of life. That's what the whole book is about. And he says, I look for the meaning of life, and you name it, he looked for it. He had money and wealth and power to where he could look in every corner of the world and life. You know what he found out? The theme is that life is vanity. Vanity of vanities. Life is meaningless until you get to the end of the book and he says, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's man's whole duty. And we need to remember God and be faithful and obey God in everything He says do, whether we like it or not. And then we need to look to the Proverbs. And we need to learn. We need to learn wisdom. We need to learn honesty. We need to learn how to work, how to labor in the Lord's vineyard. We need to learn kindness and many other things. And we can do that by looking to God's Word. Then there's life's relationships. Again, like I said, we're looking at every facet here. When we're going to prepare for life, one of the things that you're going to have to prepare for is marriage. Paul speaks to this in Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23. One thing that we need to do as far as our marriage is concerned is choose a godly mate. You need to have a commitment to your mate, but you need to first of all have a commitment to God. And then you need a mate who has that same commitment to you and to God. Faithful devotion to each other. Love, responsibility. A mate that's willing to share as well as to sacrifice. And then the next facet of that is becoming a parent. And Paul speaks there in Ephesians 6 in verse 4 that as parents we're going to sacrifice for our children. We're going to sacrifice our time, our money, our energy. You talk about unselfish acts, be a parent. And you'll understand what the act of unselfishness is. You'll experience discipline. You'll experience instruction, and the list goes on and on and on about what being good parents is. So we have to prepare for life. But in preparing to succeed, I want to suggest to you that we have to prepare to serve God. We noticed Matthew's account of the Great Commission this morning in Matthew 28. Preparing to serve God is by becoming a disciple of Christ and being baptized into His name. Baptism. Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy that we need to be faithful students of God's Word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to be devoted as teachers of the gospel. Again, Paul would instruct the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus would tell us that we need to be workers in His kingdom. So many times, we want to sit on our laurels and do nothing and wait for someone else to take care of the business at hand, of the work that needs to be done in the kingdom. And that could be anything from preaching to teaching, song leading, cleaning the building, or whatever it may be. You know, we've got a man and his family that take care of the maintenance on the building here. They do a wonderful job, and we need to commend them for it. But what if we walk through the aisle here, or I've made a mess in my pew, and I think, well, I'll just leave it there because Travis will clean it up. How is that good and honest to make a mess and leave it for someone else to clean it up? Shouldn't I clean up my own mess or help to clean up the mess of someone else? I may just see a piece of trash in the aisle here. I may pull in one afternoon to come in and do my bulletins and find a beer can out here on the parking lot. Well, Travis will get that. Or I may drive by of the day after the trash is picked up and I see the trash can is out here and the wind has blown it over, whatever. Well, Travis will get that Wednesday. Why not stop and roll it in yourself? How much time is it going to take out of your hectic life? And that's on the material side, the worldly side. But what about when someone needs to be studied with? What about when someone needs prayers? The elders can take care of that. That's what the Bible says anyway, isn't it? To let them call for the elders if they're sick. We need to be workers in the kingdom. When Jesus met with the woman at the well that we're about to study in John chapter 4, at the end of his discussion with her, you remember what he told his disciples when they showed up and she's gone to bring the Samaritans? He said, the harvest is plentiful. Pray to the Lord, to the Father, that He will send helpers. Because you're going to be busy. No, I'm not. I'm going to wait on someone else to do it. I'm going to point them. That's where you need to go and you need to work there. That's not being a worker. How many times in your secular job have you ever heard the phrase, too many chiefs and not enough Indians? There's too many people wanting to give instruction and directions and not enough people wanting to get in and get their hands dirty. We need to be workers in the kingdom. We need to prepare for life. Prepare to serve God. And we need to prepare for our own death. It's going to happen. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 9, verse 27, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's going to happen. We've seen examples of this not only in our lives, but in countless passages in God's Word, that man dies. It happens. We're studying in the book of Judges. Joshua just died. Those elders with him just died. And now we're getting into each individual judge. And after their redeeming of the freeing the oppressed from the Israelites from oppression, they die. Death is a natural occurrence. And the question is, are you ready for it? A lot of people, when they know that they're on death's doorstep, as they say, begin to make preparations. They begin to think, well, I need to give this to so-and-so. I need to make sure so-and-so has this. I need to make sure so-and-so knows this. But are we prepared for heaven? Are we prepared for the judgment? You see, these five foolish virgins, they were unprepared. And as McGarvey said, they attempted to buy righteousness from the five wise. They were not prepared. And folks, we need to be prepared ourselves. We need to become Christians while we have time, obeying the gospel. Paul talks in Romans chapter 6 in the latter part there, verses 16 through about verse 23, that whom you choose to serve is whom you have made yourself in essence a slave to. If it's to sin, then you've made yourself a slave to the devil. If you've made yourself a slave to righteousness, if you serve righteousness, then you've made yourself a servant of God. It's all about who you're going to serve. And if you are preparing for your death, then you want to be as faithful as possible. And that begins by obeying the gospel. But while you're living this life, God wants us to repent. He's not willing that any should perish, but come to Him. He wants everyone to have that opportunity to make their lives right while there is time. He's long-suffering. He's patient. And we need to take advantage of His patience. What are we waiting for? What hinders us? As Ananias asked Saul, what hinders you? What prevents us from living the Christian life that God wants us to? What stops us from turning our lives around as God wants us to prepare for our death and to prepare for judgment? If I've got sin in my life and I refuse to come out of it, something is hindering me. Something is preventing me from doing what God expects me to do. And if we're going to prepare for our death, we've got to prepare for our judgment. It is coming. That's what we have been told throughout the New Testament passages. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles were told, don't be looking for Him now. He's going to return. The same way that He left, that's the way He's going to return. Peter says He's going to return like a thief in the night. Nobody knows when He's coming back. We don't know when this judgment is. It's going to be one of those pop tests that your teacher gave you in school. So if that's the case, why aren't we living today like we're ready to take that test? And we can do that by avoiding sin in our life. Remember when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray and He took His disciples with Him? And He told those closest to Him, says, you stay here. You watch and pray. He didn't want them to fall into temptation. But He also wanted them to watch for Him and to pray for Him. Remember what they were doing when He came back? Sleeping. I wonder sometimes if we're not sleeping. Sleeping when we ought to be watching. Sleeping when we ought to be praying. And we do this by living a faithful life. We cite Revelation 2 and verse 10 a lot of times. In the plan of salvation, remain faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 2 as well. So what does this mean, living a faithful life? You have to be saved. Then you have to continue to live a faithful life, and you do that by continuing to grow. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory. Grow. And like we talked about in Bible class this morning, I'm very much afraid and worried that once we get somebody wet with baptism, we just turn them loose. And we need to be helping them to grow. After we get them introduced to salvation, we need to teach them. In fact, that's what Jesus said in His Great Commission, according to Matthew's account. After you make disciples of them and you baptize them, He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. How sad is it that some will miss heaven because they are unprepared? In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 11 in this parable, afterward the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But He answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. How sad of a statement is it going to be in the day of judgment to hear the Lord say, because I'm unprepared, I don't know you. You're not my child. I do not know you. If we wait to share the gospel with someone, take the people we love, and if we wait, we delay in sharing the gospel with them, and they don't or they won't obey the gospel, the day they die, they may say to you, or you may say to yourself, I have waited too long. I have waited too long. So don't wait too long. Prepare yourself to meet the Lord. The invitation song says, who at my door is standing? It says he's patiently drawing near. He has understanding. And all we have to do is begin now being prepared for the day of judgment. We know for a fact that it's coming. The question is, are we ready? Don't wait. Don't wait in putting on Christ in baptism. Everything is ready tonight if you need to respond by putting Christ on in baptism. Everything is ready. All we're waiting for is you. Don't wait too long. Christ is patiently drawing near. If you're here and you need to confess your sins, as public as they may be, don't wait. Don't wait. Do it now. React now. We're ready and we're willing to pray with you and for you. It may be that that really doesn't apply to you. It may be that you just have a dark cloud hanging over your life. You're discouraged. What we don't understand sometimes is that discouragement can lead us down a dark path to sin. We can pray with you and for you tonight to help bring you back into the light. If you're here, you'd find yourself in need of responding to the invitation. I pray that you won't wait and that you'll begin to prepare yourself for eternity by making your way to the front while together we stand and sing.